Okay, huddle up, sports fans. Live from Studio B, it's showtime for Ken, Mark, and John, the sports authorities, here on the new CKIW Radio 76.
Well, here we are, yay, from Studio B, all of ourselves, all clean and shiny.
I haven't took a shower today.
That's true.
Aren't you glad you know that?
Yeah, that's right, it's Tuesday.
Yeah, it's Tuesday. I clean myself up on Tuesdays.
Two for Tuesdays?
Two for Tuesdays, that's right.
Like, clean the left and right side?
And the top and the bottom.
Wowee! Squeaky clean! Wow.
Like the SEC.
Yeah, really. Bless your heart. There you go. Look at that nice shine.
Hey.
Boy, is that like liquid gold on you or what, man?
Wow. Deodorant, too. I even smell good.
Wow, thank God for a small place like this. Hey. Bless your heart. Talk about bless your heart. Thank you so very much for being with us tonight. John Sarra here in Studio B, of course, with the sports authorities. We are glad to see Y-O-U-U.
Even though we can't see you.
Even though.
And you can't see us either.
That's right. And that's kind of the way we like it. But
you can hear us, though.
Yes.
Yep. That's a good thing, though. You can hear us.
Yes.
Yes.
Because we're authorities. We're not your experts.
True that, you know. And you can call the Call Sam studio anytime here to talk to us.
Call Mark.
Why does Call Sam got everything all over the damn place? He's everywhere. How much money is that law firm bringing in?
Must be a ton.
Damn.
They even have the Call Sam helicopter.
Yes.
And it better not run into the Sports Authority helicopter. Otherwise, we're gonna sue them.
Well, you know, the Sports Authority's helicopter is actually an Apache, so they better not mess with it.
That's right. We'll shoot it down.
Yeah.
No, yeah, really. We got it from Airwolf, since they're not using it anymore, you know, since both those guys are Jan Vincent, whatever his name is. He's long gone. And Ernie Borgnine, you know, you're McHale's Navy. You're Captain McHale.
That's right.
I mean, how did they both fit into it? My favorite of all time of that thing was when they went to silent mode. And nobody could hear these big, huge props going round and round and round and round. It was just like an illusion. People were like, oh, what's that? You know, yay too. But glad to see you here on the Sports Authority. Of course, we are the authorities here. We're not bought and paid for by anybody. So we can tell you exactly how it is. Also,
in whatever words we want to use, too.
True that, because we don't have the FCC here. We do have the DMCA and how we don't have for long, but... So the language may get a little bit salty, and if it does, super bad. Okay, all the thoughts and opinions we have are our own, so don't even try to sue us, because we'll call Sam.
Or we'll send the Apache helicopter after
you. That's right. With Jan Michael Vincent, that was his name. Good Lord, what happened to that career? Let's see. We're not experts, so we are authorities, which makes us one step ahead. So if you want to know anything about any sport whatsoever, you've come to the right place.
That's right.
That's everybody. And talking about everybody in mid-season right now, going to his Final Four, the Super CPA, Kent Pocket. Hiya, Ken.
Hi, John, and hello to all the filers out there in filing land.
That's right. In case people have been calling up and wanting to know, the $5 tax thing is over. You cannot get your tax done for $5. You can get it for $2 today. Two. So if you call in right now... Any tax thing you have, corporate, whatever, $2. Bring a Coca-Cola and 50 cents, it's paid for.
That's right. Even if you don't have a business.
Make a business.
Make a business.
That's right. Ken will file the papers for your offshore corporation, you know. Hide any money you want from the old bagel with you, you know. She'll never know.
Even if you don't have a Swiss bank account.
Make one.
There you go. Ken will make you one. No problem.
He's got the paperwork right here in his hand. All you have to do is fill in your name.
I don't think this is the right paperwork.
There you go. Sure it does. Ivan R. Seister, here you go. How is it now? I mean, it's getting weird.
Getting weird, yeah.
Is it?
Yep. We're getting down to crunch time.
Everybody with the stuff in the briefcases and suitcases and just dumping out the... I think I made that charitable deduction for $30,000. Where to? Somewhere. You know, you can't do all 30,000. What?
Yeah. And not only that, but I have all these slips of paper here with different donations on it. I was wondering if you could, like, add them up for me. You know, where are they? Well, in that 55-gallon drum over there. Oh. And, oh, by the way.
Under the Roach Motel.
I was having lunch, and it kind of spilled in there a little.
Yeah.
So just kind of wipe the stuff off as you go through it.
I was camping, and I didn't have toilet paper, so that one.
It's probably underneath the spaghetti sauce that's on top of that receipt.
Yeah. And even though they don't say where there's two, I hand-wrote them out for you.
Yeah.
You know, what is the biggest one you hear? I mean, consistently.
What's that?
The biggest, you know.
Well, a couple of places people like to play games. One is charitable. The other one's like Business Miles.
Business Miles?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I only drove 47,365 miles for business, and I only live 6 miles from
Warren to Livonia and back twice. I mean, how much you get for Business Miles? 53 cents.
Yeah.
And so what are they waiting?
If you have 20,000 miles, it adds up, right?
Yeah, but I mean.
Okay, where's your contemporaneous record?
Here are all these computer filings going. Wow. I mean, how do you do that? You have to have, like, how do you certify that?
Well, nowadays it's easy if you have the app on your phone.
Yeah.
Because you can just, log in when you're going to go do a business run.
Yeah.
And it adds it up for you.
Yeah, but how do you verify if guys don't have the phone app? You know, that he really did 30,000 miles.
Well, then they have to have notes that they've written.
I go home at night and I just write out one night 30,000 miles.
Yeah. Well, I mean, each stop that you make, you have documents. So.
I mean, nobody really knows, right?
Yeah.
So if you want to stretch your tax dollars, you know, get a business.
Yep. Well, then you get the guy that's got 35,000 business miles, and he's got a car that's got 8,000 miles on it.
He just bought a brand new mile. Because the other one died driving so many miles, and I had to leave it on the side of the road.
There you go.
That's awesome. That's great. I mean, really, all you have to do, does anybody go, now, wait a minute, Woodward to Lansing. You know, I mean, does anybody really look?
If you get audited, yeah.
And they go, all right, I know damn well from Greenfield to Woodward, that's only 4 miles, and you put that on 7.
Yeah. I mean, they want to make sure you keep track of it, okay? Did they audit to that detail? No. But they want to make sure you've got records to justify it.
What's the thing that red flags them?
Well, I mean, obviously, a red flag is what's going to cause them to do an audit, and if some number looks out of place.
Okay.
You know, for example, well, I gave $10,000 in clothing to Salvation Army last year. Whoop, really? Really?
How much can you...
I mean, how many trucks did you rent to haul $10,000 worth of used clothing?
Yeah, I guess, you know, really, how would they know? Unless you actually took pictures, you know?
Uh-huh.
I mean, would that even suffice? Because I would go take pictures of every truck that went in there with and superimpose me on it.
Well, here's
hanging out the window.
Can I jump in your window cabin?
The rule is if you go over $5,000 in any kind of non-cash contribution, you have to have an appraisal. So if you're going to go over $5,000, you have to have an appraisal or you can't take it.
How do you get it appraised?
Well, that's the thing. How do you get used clothing appraised?
That's what I'm saying.
So you can't. Okay? That's the limit.
All right. So if you take it to 4999?
Yeah.
It slides right on under?
Yep. Then you have to fill out the Form 8283 and give all the details of each contribution you've made, and it's a pain in the butt.
doesn't Salvation Army, don't they give you like a little thing that says, here, you fill it out?
Yeah.
Like $4.99 stamp. There you go, dude.
Yeah, but you got to write down on there what you give them. Exactly. Five bags of
Misc
clothing.
Clothes.
Three gold coins.
Yeah. Some kind of currency. Says crypto.
Bitcoin.
Yeah. Before the big crash. You know,
the day before the crash.
What did the market do today?
I have no idea.
Okay. Too many things happening out in the real world. More guns, please. Hey, how's that YouTube thing going? Sorry about which. No, I should do the other one. Wait a minute. There you go. Anyway, so to get away from all that kind of crazy crap, we are so glad that you are here with the sports authorities, including our sport director here, Mark Milicek. Hi, Mark.
Hi, John. Hi, Kenny. Hi, everybody out there.
In TV land. Okay, so this is how we do it. Mark writes up these wonderful books every week. We do not look at them beforehand, so we get them all fresh and ready just for you, just popped out of the oven. And if you hear us counting out numbers, it's what we're going to talk about next in no random order. So, Mark, as always, kick us off. Ow!
Well, should we talk about the Michigan debacle last night?
Let's.
I'd almost go with number two first, but okay. No. We can, no.
Let's dive right in.
You betcha.
All right.
I thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Who's the only one here that took Villanova all the way? Fanfare? I thank you. I mean, anybody else, I would think that nobody... I mean, Villanova was a steamroller from day one, and you knew it. And Mark and I were watching some of it last night. Man, you saw it. Number 10, bomb from downtown, around town.
Dante DiFacenzo.
The big ragu.
Yes.
He came into the game.
The sixth man.
Right about the time that Robinson went out, didn't he?
Yep.
And you could tell, I mean, it was over after that. I mean, it was just done.
Yep, I turned the game on after watching the Leafs' victory last night. And
wait.
Go ahead, hit the boo thing.
There you go.
That's okay, they're going to playoffs, not the Red Wings. But beside the point.
As far as you know.
No. Judge Judy threw the court case out.
As far as you know.
We don't even want to talk about the Red Wings right now.
No.
That's right.
Oh, my God. Okay, when we get to number six, we're going to have our opportunity to...
I can't wait till number two.
Yeah. But anyways,
Did they make it official? I didn't think they made it official.
Well, that's the what's going on through the Detroit news. But we'll talk about that later. But anyways, okay. I turned the game on, the Michigan Villanova game, and it was 21-14. Michigan was winning, and it's almost like I jinxed them when I turned the game on. It was like, oh, my God, 21-16, 21-18, 21-21,
and
all hell broke loose after that.
And I'm going, ching, score more.
Yeah, and John's chinging, and I'm going, gee, I got Michigan to win the whole thing, and I'm just going the opposite way going, okay, well, I think the party's over. Is there another Maple Leaf game or something else to watch? Because it was just going south for Michigan.
Did anybody seriously think that Michigan could beat Villanova? Not a ghost chance in the world.
I think there were some people that actually thought that, but they were wrong.
Clearly. You should have come to me, John Sarver. I would have told you. Who would have taken it all? Here's my W-888 form that is deductible for genius moves in the 64. And that's why I took Virginia all the way almost.
Yeah. John's got to fill out a form to deduct those chips that he won.
That's right. I go to Better Made and I cash them in.
That's right.
There you are. So, there was no chance. Michigan never had a chance.
Nope.
They're not that good. They had an easy path in, blah, blah. You know, I mean, they really did have an easy path.
They didn't play any.
Nobody.
Five or higher seed all the way through.
I mean, if you think it.
I saw the statistic, but they play all lower teams.
If you really seriously think about it, you played in the Final Four a number 11 team that the best player was on a wheelchair and almost ready to touch God's robe, you know?
Sister Jean.
Yeah. I mean, really, what was the... I mean, it was a cute little story and stuff like that, but in reality, a number 11 team, and everybody goes, yeah, look what happened to Virginia. Yeah, well, we're not really sure what happened to Virginia.
Yeah.
I mean, there would have been some serious money made, but Virginia wouldn't have rolled all the way. You know, as much as people thought they'd go Final Four, and they probably would have. Michigan would have got smacked upside the head.
Yeah.
You know, so you got... I mean, damn it. And I'm thinking, I don't have my bracket here, but who did Michigan play? I mean, if your toughest team was... I mean, you remember when we were going doing the shoot? Who did they play when they were, like, back and forth, when we were out on that Saturday night?
Well, they started with Bucknell, didn't
Texas.
They? And then Texas A&M they played.
Texas A&M, and then yeah. They won in the last shot.
What was the one that we were in at 7-Eleven?
They and played Houston.
Couldn't get out of
Houston.
Houston.
Yeah.
Houston was the toughest game they played.
Yeah.
You know? Houston should have ate them up, and that was, phew, luck.
Yeah.
You know?
That kid throws up that shot with arms and legs flailing.
Yeah, really. And he had a poked eye and stuff.
And all he had to do was make one of those free throws.
Yeah.
And he threw two bricks up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and watch how much that happens. But now, as everybody wants to say, is Villanova a dynasty right now? Two out of three number one ranks or number one championships, you know? But they were no. Did they surprise anybody? I can't believe that people picked against them. I mean, who, you know, they were exactly who they were all through the season. No ups, no downs. No, they're getting hot now. No, they're getting cold now. No, they got a guy who's injured. I mean, they were just perfect cruising all the way through. And, man, I'm telling you, they look better than some NBA teams. I mean, they were just smooth. In
I can name one.
Well, frankly, I think...
they play a pizza arena.
Oh. Do they? Does anybody notice?
I think Villanova's a team that really came of age during the tournament. I mean, I think they really, you know, they were one seed going in, but they weren't a consensus number one. But you could see game to game that this team was really growing up, really hitting its stride.
So, incredible poise.
Yep.
Incredible talent.
So by the time they faced Kansas, it was like nothing.
Next.
Nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, talk about your 3-4 matchup. Or 1-2, well,
let's say 1-1.
Yeah, 1-1.
1-1.
You know, Kansas was way overrated.
I don't think Kansas was should have been rated a 1.
No, neither do I. But. Way too overrated. You know, but you know the fun part was when we were mentioning this last night. I hope to God Izzo was watching every minute of that. Go, okay, dude. You know, enough of your hype. You got to get back on the wagon. Let it rock. You know, you got two guys now that are gone to the NBA. Two of your big deal stars. Okay, those days are gone. You somehow, some way, you're attracting so many one and duns now. You know, okay. Does anybody stay? I mean, I can't think of who goes for 2 years now. But then again, you're dumb as fuck if you're the NBA for grabbing, you know, a freshman player.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't know. I mean, you're basically 365 days away from high school.
Yep.
Well, ask Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Yeah, no shit.
How's that doing, big baller brand?
Yeah. There you go. There's your perfect example.
Ask Lithuania. How's it doing over there, guys?
Yeah. He hasn't adapted to the NBA style. He's been hurt because his body's not...
Which one?
What's that?
Which ball?
Lonzo.
The left one.
Okay.
Lonzo. L.A. He hasn't adapted to the NBA style of basketball. His body hasn't filled in yet. He's been hurt because of the physicality of the NBA. He's just not ready to play that physical type of basketball. And there you go. You know,
he's an ugly guy.
Well,
honestly, God, the whole family's not attractive.
Being that young
and that ugly.
Trying to play in that league. Just doesn't, you know, very, I shouldn't say it doesn't work. It very rarely works.
True. Yeah, and I mean, if you're going to take somebody directly out of the G League, you know, what the hell is the G League?
Is it like a G string?
I know. Like, G, are you bad? I thought it was a D League. They got a D League and a G League? Or a G League that was the worst movie ever made?
I don't know.
What is the G League?
Just another developmental basketball league.
So now you have two levels? So you got like AAA and AA now?
Evidently they're trying to be like the Major League Baseball.
Does NBA teams have that kind of money where you can support that? I mean, let's go back to the NBA debacle. You know, where every NBA team had to have a WNBA team.
Loser.
I'll do it. Wait a minute. How well did that work out? You know, I mean, the IHL at the Palace worked out longer than that did. I mean, there were more people going to the Tiger game on Easter than went to any WNBA game here in Detroit. God, I can't even remember the Detroit. What were they? Detroit milkshakes? Detroit bagels?
Shock?
Yeah, that's right. Toxic Shock.
Was it the Shock?
Yeah.
It might have been. Might have been the Shock, yeah.
Who the hell thought of that one? You know, I mean, what's a shocker? I mean, there's way too many things that you don't really want to associate with these things. And again, what is the women's game, unless, like, you're really part of it, knowledgeable? Okay, you know, but it's dull. It's dull to watch. It's incredibly. I mean, if the NBA is dull to watch, WNBA is double. You know, unlike college softball, which, and we were talking about this too, you know, silly Paul Jurek. And I say silly for
the fifth
lack of another term. Yeah, got me hooked on it. Huh. And it was like, damn, I don't even care who's playing. You know. It's like all of a sudden he goes, you see all the small butts that are on softball teams? And they all have like these pants that really show small butts? And it's like, get out. And then so I was watching it last weekend. And it's like, yeah, I guess he's right. It's like, I don't really care if Michigan beats Purdue. I don't. They're all freezing and stuff like that. And you're going, oh, hey, look at that second baseman. A base person. Oh, I'm stuck in that stupid thing. Anyways, talking about stuck.
It's like women's beach volleyball.
There you go.
Yeah, but then, you know, but ever see a beach volleyball chick with boobs? Never. Ever.
Well.
They look like they're your brother or something. Well, I mean, it's like nothing. What? They never show the butt. You know, they always show like the six-pack. All right, I get it.
Or the face planted in the sand.
Yeah. Yeah, with the stupid, like, face makeup and all that bullshit on, you know, like the different Indian colors and stuff. Let's see some boob. If I'm going to be watching two-woman volleyball, which I would fall asleep in a heartbeat, I want to see something that's going to keep my attention. I want to have Gene Simmons of KISS have a KISS, you know, volleyball team, the L.A. volleyball KISS team.
Yeah, the L.A. KISS with the little cages coming from the...
That'd be badass. Now, those guys knew how to do it. Rock and roll and sex and football. Brilliant marketing strategy.
Too bad they didn't score a lot of touchdowns.
The team itself sucked. Yeah. But everything else around it was like, oh, okay, whatever. You maybe see a chick in a cage, you know?
Yeah.
When did we get into that? When did we, you know, it's like in the 60s, you saw the go-go dancers in a cage. What the hell is that? You know, it's like women in a jail dancing. Ooh, that's hot.
Well,
did we miss something? Is there a sentence gone here or something? There's a woman in a cage, which means I can't get in. How hot is this?
And they you know, can't get out.
I understand that. It's for my protection, too, I guess. Well done. Talking about not well done, I can't wait to get to two.
Oh,
let's do this.
Okay, well.
Here's our new guy.
Yeah.
I'm watching this scene. And they actually think that the Phillies have a chance to go to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Playoffs?
Playoffs. Let's call Jim Mora.
That's right.
Playoffs. Yeah, Gabe Kapler.
He's the new Brad.
He is the new Brad.
He needs to go into
by
the camp. Can't call it fade now.
I mean, yeah, we're just going to draft him in.
Yeah.
Yeah, he goes in on first ballot, and we're just not even going to wait for the...
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
because he this is such a monumental screw up.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
what were you know what we never even thought this was going to happen. But what were the Phillies thinking? They're so crappy. Where else are they going to go? And they hire Gabe Kapler, who is a crap, overhyped outfielder. You know, was in Detroit, and we all went boo to him.
Boo!
Yep.
Evidently played for Toronto.
He worked in the Dodgers front office for a while.
Yeah, he was with Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he went to the Dodgers front. Uh-huh. And for some god reason, he's supposed to be such a fabulous brain that he could also manage, too. Huh?
So what happened? Tell us, Mark, what happened here?
Please do.
Well, Gabe Kapler in his, I don't know how to say it, but anyways, in the third inning of a 15-2 loss to Atlanta.
To Atlanta, of all places.
Yep. Gabe Kapler decided to change his pitcher. But the problem is he went out to the mound to change his pitcher, and he called for Hobie Milner to come in to pitch. The problem is the pitcher wasn't even warmed up. He was still sitting in the bullpen, not even warming up.
How do you do that? How do you don't you call the bullpen?
Yeah.
To say, get this guy up, get it ready?
Yep.
So what did he do? Just got off the bench, starts walking to the mound, and starts signaling? And,
yeah, he went out to the mound. He signaled for the left-hander to come in. The problem is there was no left-hander warming up.
Honest, he's a new Brad. He's Brad Plus.
Yeah.
You know? Gee, why don't you get Brad there as a bench coach?
Yeah, so yeah. So anyway, they actually had to – he. So this Milner guy gets up, starts throwing in the bullpen real quick. So the first base umpire goes out there and says, come on, you got to come in, you know. And the first base umpire realizes that, okay, there's nobody warming up out here. So they tell him to come to the mound. And the home plate umpire is like, wow, this guy really made a big screw up. So they let him warm up on –
through five pitches.
Yeah, at home plate, just to let him warm up because he didn't want him to blow out his arm. And technically, he didn't have to, you know. I mean, he gets a certain amount at home plate, but technically, he let him have more than what he was supposed to have. But I guess Major League Baseball, went to the Phillies and to Gabe Kapler and said,
this happens again.
Yeah. What the hell are you doing, Gabe? You know, you sort of need to know what the hell is going on in your bullpen.
He's going to be a trip. I mean, when they got blasted out 15-2, you know, it was like, well, that's baseball. We got another game coming. Boy, I'm confident this team will do real well and stuff. With what? You pulled out your starter at 58 pitches. 58 pitches, and he was cruising. He had no runs, and he had a fourth spot, you know, and he pulls them. And then what happens? Just like the Tigers, good night nurse when it comes into the bullpen, and then surrenders them all.
And here's what I love. Here's what Kapler said. I'm taking accountability for it. It's an indication that I need to do a better job, and I will. One of the things I pride myself on is being an excellent communicator and doing so relentlessly. I will continue to strive for excellence in that regard. Miscommunications are simply unacceptable, no matter where they occur.
He said in a written statement. Because does that not sound like a PR flack?
Yeah, it's horrible.
That's awful. You know, you can't miscommunication. What is
there? Was
is
no
there?
Communication.
Yeah, you don't. I mean, what
I
kind
mean,
of drug?
Pick up the damn phone and call the bullpen.
It's not like he had to run out to the bullpen and say, "Hey, can you get ready now?"
Yeah,
you have a phone.
Don't you talk to your pitching coach?
Yeah,
yeah. Don't you talk to your bench coach? I mean, you're surrounded by guys that are there to help you to keep you from screwing up. Okay, and what do? I'm going to go pull the pitcher.
Yeah, and you still screw up.
Do the Phillies have enough talent to get past this guy?
No.
They don't have enough talent ever. No. I mean, they're another crap team. They're another bottom four with Detroit.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, there's some hope that some of the young guys are going to progress and, you know, lifting. But, I mean,
yeah,
we'll see.
Maybe.
If you're Cleveland or Minnesota, how much are you digging these next 3 years?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, you got the cushions underneath you. All three of them, three of the worst team in baseball.
I'll tell you one thing. If you were drafting fantasy baseball this year and you didn't take at least two Cleveland pitchers, you're crazy.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
Because look at the teams you're going to be facing. The Detroit offense, they've lost two games already, 1-0.
Yeah.
Okay, two shutouts. They waste two good pitching performances. Why? They can't hit. And you look at Kansas City, oh, my God. And then you've got Chicago. They aren't going to be anything either.
You know who's got to be looking over the shoulder is Pittsburgh. How in God's name are we undefeated? You know, you're not that good. You know.
Well, you played Detroit three times.
Yeah. I mean, talk about fattening up.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Tigers lost again today.
Yeah.
And Kansas City only got one run.
Yeah.
You know, they wasted Boyd's good performance again today.
Yeah, but you're going to be wasting a whole lot more in 36-degree temperatures as your high for the day.
Yeah.
I mean, I could not imagine throwing pitch after pitch, sweating like crazy, cooling down, throw a pitch, cooling down. Oh, my God. Or standing in center field and having that wind come at you and you're standing there.
Yeah, Major League Baseball. Who in the hell made this stupid schedule? Were you guys drinking Jack Daniels when you made it?
You know what we got to do? And we'll probably have to refer to you. Is that when did baseball start spring training this early? Where the season begins in the bottom of March?
It's happened a few times. Doesn't happen all the time, but there's been like two or three years now where they've started at the end of March. And I'm, as far as I'm concerned, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Just absolutely crazy.
I'm thinking if you go to the 70s.
But the problem is a couple things. You got a 162-game schedule. They don't want the World Series going into November if they can.
But they do anyways.
And they don't want to have any doubleheaders because they don't want to give the fans an extra game for two for the price of one.
Oh, they don't.
Because you want to wring every last dollar that you can out of your fan base.
When was the last time you went to a doubleheader?
It's been 30 years.
Yeah, right. Back in the day, you stayed. Now, at the 1 o'clock game, when that's done at 4, they get you out of there. And then the next paying customers come in at nighttime. The doubleheaders are not, you pay one price, stay all day.
Yep.
No, they're going to get as much cash. But you know, some of that, too, is the union that didn't want to have doubleheaders. Okay, that's kind of cool. But when did they go to 162?
It's
been a while.
Yeah, maybe 1954, I'm thinking.
Okay. So if you... There is no way in God's green earth in 68 the Tigers started in March.
No.
None.
No.
But they played doubleheaders.
Right.
Okay.
Which shortened the season out, so they played... The end of the season came
And fewer
earlier.
Days off, too.
Right.
If you remember, the All-Star game didn't used to be a three-game break.
Yeah, it was one day, have fun, and go away now.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, but now it's got to be, for some kind of reason, it's got to be a 3-day, and now it's got to be festival time.
Yeah.
It's got to be home run dinger day.
Now turn it into a 4-day break.
Right. Yeah.
Monday through Thursday.
Yeah, and everyone's going, it's to the point now, because you have TV everywhere, cable everywhere, you see all these teams everywhere, you get the NBA or the Major League Baseball ticket, you know. You know all these people. It's not a thrill, especially with interleague play. It's not that big of a deal to have an all-star game anymore.
Yeah.
You know, no one's really trying, you know, and no one really cares.
Yeah.
So the reason why you do this for 4 days and how many people are going, yeah, I'd like to, ooh, my knee, eh, ow. Yeah. You know, I'll be back in 4 days, the doctor said. Get somebody else. Get Brandon Inge in there.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, is the also? Oh, you know what the funny thing is, Mark, and you brought up something yesterday too. The deal with you see all these pathetic frozen fans there, especially on the second game of a twi-nighter on Easter with 27-degree temperatures and wind, and you're going to pay $40, $80 plus $20 to park. Who are doing that? But then again, who is buying season tickets? I would love to see what season tickets are, not only for the Tigers, but for the Wings and the Pistons, you know? Because really, the millennials get it. Why buy it? Why have a season ticket, you know, for teams that you know are going to be shit?
Yeah.
And they ain't kidding. There's not going to be a Mark the Bird Friedrich that's going to show up. You got better seats at home, better TV at home, better bathroom at home, better beer at home.
And why cheaper would you know? Everything.
Yeah.
You bet.
I mean, now that you have allegedly 4K TVs, but you're still watching it in 720. And if you're watching it, maybe 720, maybe about 480. You know, because you can see actually the grass move every other frame. It's awful. It just makes you buggy.
Yeah.
You know? But it's the best seat in the house.
Yeah.
You know, with all the camera angles that they have, with all the replays that they have, with all the, you know, you have, you're sitting right there at the plate. You know, I would rather watch it at home than watch it through a screen down the front base side for a $125 ticket.
Yeah.
You know, so who's buying? I mean, is season tickets a thing of the past.
I would rather stay at home and watch it.
Can you write them off anymore?
Nope.
As entertainment thing?
Nope. That's all gone.
What's all gone? Bye bye. Oh, bye bye. You know,
unless of course you write it off as miscellaneous.
Yeah, $4.99
Office supplies.
90. Cheer. Yeah, because you really think about it, all the people that got stuck buying at Little Tweezers Arena. Wow. And how much do those things go for per year? 1.3, 1.2 without food?
Oh, the sweets? Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, they're close to $1 million a year.
God. Yeah. Damn.
Everything. Oh. If you want the hockey, the basketball, the concerts, and you know the truck pulls or whatever the hell else they have over there.
Yeah, but okay, but still. $1 million a year, and you sign for what, 5 years, 3 years?
Minimum is five.
All right, so you're looking at minimalistically $5 million. $5 million.
Yes.
So that gives you a $2 million house, $1 million for food, $1 million super video system, and $1 million for Uber to have all your friends come over. I mean, for what you're going to get, and I mean, have you ever seen a suite in any stadium that impressed you? That's worth $1 million?
Nope. The one over at Joe Louis Arena was nothing
new.
A piece of shit.
Yeah, it's not bad, not good at all.
Yeah, it had brown water.
Yeah. That was tasty.
Brought in from Flint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you take a look at it and you go, there is nothing. I mean, that wouldn't even be a $110 hotel room, you know, at a Marriott. Well, let alone somewhere this is where we're going to, and we're going to put 10 people in here.
Yeah.
And then we're still going to have to buy the $18 pizza.
No, it's you know, $30 pizza.
$30 pizza, the $10 beer, you know, plus tip, you know, plus getting down there, plus. I think, man, it's almost to the point where I'm not sure you really want a stadium anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Oop. Yep. Nowadays, the sports is basically made for
TV.
It's for TV and for people that you know own companies.
Yeah, but you can't write it off anymore.
You still use it though.
Yeah, I'm saying people that have the money that can afford to buy those tickets. The regular guy that works 8 to 5 for a company, that makes 50, 60 grand a year, is not going to be able to afford a $200 ticket to go watch a hockey game. You know, he might go one time or two times to take the family because a family of four at $150 a ticket, that's an $800 night.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, you got to go. But if you're going, if you know that you're going to get like the mini ticket for the 10 game ticket down to Co-America and know that it's probably 8 out of 10 times you're not going to come back happy, why go?
Yeah.
You know? What would be the point to watch teams that it's like do 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 do? You know, you don't have any starting this. I saw Victor actually take second base. He started at about 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah, it was like him and Stan running a marathon, right?
that's
for Victor now, too.
That's Victor
that's
running
Victor
the bases.
Too.
Yeah.
And they're off.
That'd be a good race.
Get going.
See who would win.
God. Yeah, well. All right. Well, anyway, so that's kind of the name of that situation. You want to go for, the number three thing, which kind of we can go into that, too?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the opening day video review debacle.
We're not going to call it instant replay because there was nothing instant about it, was there?
No. Unless you want to, I don't know,
order
a pizza while you're...
You think maybe Victor and Stan were doing the video replay, right?
Yeah.
Like you're trying to, like, produce from your chair.
Yeah. For people that don't know what happened or whatever.
Try it.
Castellanos, in the bottom of the 10th inning, allegedly scored on a base hit.
No, he scored. There's absolutely he slid in.
Well, no, because video.
You saw it?
I saw the replay today.
What did you think?
I thought he was safe, but...
Yeah. I mean, not to be a homer or nothing, but it's like I'm looking at the guy's shoulder.
Well, according to the umpire, he was safe too, but video review in New York.
You're looking at the same cameras, the same angle, the same everything.
According to them, they came up with some sort of
angle. I don't believe that.
Because I think they blew it.
It took 4 minutes because it doesn't take you 4 minutes to review video replay. Okay, right. What they did in that 4 minutes is called Judge Judy up. Okay, and they said, Judy, who do you like better? Do you like Pittsburgh or Detroit? She said, I like Pittsburgh better. So that's what they did.
Well, you know what they did. After 2 minutes, they decided to flip a coin. The problem is the coin went under the table, and they couldn't get the coin to see if it was heads or tails.
Well, wasn't the point? After 2 minutes, no matter what it is, and there you go.
That's what it's supposed to be. After 2 minutes, if they can't figure out, it's the call on the field that goes.
Then how did they
That's
go
just
to
like
four
the
minutes?
NHL rule. If they can't figure out after a certain amount of time, the call on the ice stands. And that's the way it's supposed to be for baseball,
and,
too.
And, you know, it's because we always talk about incontrovertible evidence. Okay? And, again, it shouldn't take you more than 2 minutes to find incontrovertible evidence.
Yeah. Either is or isn't.
You got your ruler out there and you're trying to measure a quarter of an inch or what? What are you doing?
That's what I'm saying. See, you can sit there for 20 minutes and sit there and keep running the plays frame by frame by frame by frame. Sooner or later, you might find something, but you don't have 20 minutes. You have to make that decision within a certain amount of time. If you can't figure it out in that amount of time, whatever.
And again, the point I've made before. The play doesn't happen frame by frame. The play happens in real time.
Right.
Okay? So, frankly, if you can't figure it out watching the replay in real time, you're done.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I mean, but see, this is what they do. They take it and they break it down frame by frame. They got to stop that. You run it at the regular speed and you look at it a couple of times and you go, okay, well, we can't figure out if he tagged him or not. The play on the field is what is called on the field. Case closed. Happy New Year. Whatever. It is done.
Yeah.
But they sit there and they try to nitpick every little thing, and they got to stop doing that.
So why didn't Gardenhire come out in 2 minutes?
He was yelling from the dugout, like, doing this. Like, come on. You know, what's going on
why
here?
Why didn't he come out? Because at 2 minutes and 1 second, that's it.
He's not supposed to.
Game's over.
He's not supposed to.
Yeah, but it's not supposed to go over 2 minutes either.
Yeah.
Well, so... But the thing about it is, the Clint Hurdle from Pittsburgh was yelling out of the dugout, too, going, come on, let's go. You know, it's only 18 and a half freaking degrees out here. Let's go. Let's make
a
decision.
Here's a question. Then. If, let's say, 2 minutes elapses, and he's okay, you're supposed to have a decision, can the umpire then say, okay, to hell with New York, he's safe, let's go home? Maybe, or does he have to wait for New York?
Maybe that's what they need to do. You know, if they can't make that decision within a couple of minutes, then the umpire should have the power to say, well, fine, you guys can't make up your mind, then my call stands.
I think that the umpire should have the authority. And I've made this point before, where you take it out of the hands of the official on the field. I mean, what the hell are you doing? Okay, it should be at the discretion of the official on the field. If not, then basically what you're doing is you're making him make a call with no authority to make it stick. And that's where we've seen problems in the NFL, where the referee blows the whistle because he assumes it's one thing, and then they overturn it, and the other team gets screwed because he blew the whistle.
Right.
Wait a minute. What's Al Avila saying? He's saying, we heard what we wanted to hear. I will tell you that. I'm not going to say anything else other than that. They told us what we knew was right. However, Major League Baseball is standing behind their decision. The nature of the exchange with the Tigers was that the replay officials made a correct call based on conclusive evidence. What?
He's just trying to...
The video clearly shows the catcher applying the tag to the upper... right arm on the runner. Doesn't take you 4 minutes if it's clear. You know,
give you another point, too. What the announcers are saying in the game is, boy, if this was Pittsburgh, we would know by now because they have a lot more camera angles than in Comerica Park.
Oh, Comerica Park was awful.
It really depends on the home team. It's like, okay, well, again, what we're seeing here is a haphazard system that isn't applied uniformly. I mean, this is bullshit.
Absolutely. I mean, really, the camera angles were like really bad bank, you know, surveillance cameras. They weren't clear. They weren't very crisp. They were from far away. They weren't zoomed in on anything.
Uh-huh. But Avila can't go any further than what he said there, because if he says anything like against what Major League Baseball said, like they made the wrong call,
yeah,
then he can get fined.
Yeah, but isn't it true, though?
Well,
it doesn't matter whether it's true. It hurts their image.
That's right.
But wait,
that's just like if a coach like in hockey, says something.
We can say it because we're the sports authorities. You know what? They screwed up. It's a stupid system, and they need to do something about it because they're making a mockery of themselves.
That's right. Because anytime any player or coach or general manager says anything bad about a league, that they made the wrong call or whatever, they automatically get fined.
Yeah.
That's why they can't do that, because of the fining system. But we can say whatever we want. You guys screwed up.
Yeah, but you know, that's masking a problem big time.
It is.
But it is. That's what I'm saying. It is. Yeah.
That's why they have credibility issues.
Yeah, I mean, the issue intimidation issue right there. Yeah. Big.
You know, instead of just coming out and saying, we screwed up and we'll do better next time. Yeah. No. Everybody just has to bow down and say, oh, you guys were right.
So what happens next time if it's 2 minutes? I mean, why have a 2-minute rule if there is no 2-minute enforcement?
Because, see, this is what I'm saying.
Exactly.
They don't go by the rules. They do what they want
to
do.
And they're talking about trying to speed the game up.
Yeah.
Okay, they're limiting pitcher mound visits, okay?
Right.
So then you have a 4-minute replay?
Yeah, so that just goes against everything that they want to do about speeding up. And, okay, and the game was already in extra innings, so now you're already prolonging a game that's already in extra innings.
There's a 5-hour game.
Plus the fact that the game was technically over because he was ruled safe on the field.
Right.
Okay. Now, the only way that game isn't over at that point is if the ruling on the field has no value, okay? Because it goes then to video. Okay, so the ruling on the field was immaterial.
Right.
See what I'm saying?
And if they went by the 2-minute clock,
and you can't tell me, well, there's the presumption that the guy on the field was right. You can't sell me on that anymore. We're done with that.
Right. But I'm saying if they would have gone by the 2-minute rule, the call on the field would have been safe.
Yes.
Game would have been over.
Yes.
End of story.
The ruling on the field had no value whatsoever.
Right. Right.
Okay. The umpire is standing there and he rules safe, but he's an ornament. Okay. Why? Because it's going to go to New York and they're going to make the call.
Is that automatic?
No, it's not automatic.
It has to be one team or another has to ask for that ruling.
Right. So Kansas City made the appeal, but
Pittsburgh is going to make that appeal because the game is over. So
they got nothing to lose.
And there's no constraint on what happens at that point.
Right.
The umpire's call had no effect.
Right. Yeah, Pittsburgh, they got nothing to lose by saying, hey, we want that play reviewed because, hey, you know, we might get lucky, and he did tag him, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but, I mean, 4 minutes, not conclusive. It doesn't – conclusive, I can see right away. Hence the term conclusive. Yeah. You don't take 4 minutes. I mean, really, that, you know how many commercials you put in 4 minutes? You know, because they're thinking, all right, we'll come back after 2 minutes, and they're still sitting there. It's cold. It's opening day. People are getting antsy. It wasn't the right call because it looked like a shadow touch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it didn't look like, and really, Detroit, invest in some cameras. That was awful.
Yeah.
But like Clint Hurdle said in the article, we asked for the replay, but he was even complaining because it was 4 minutes long. All they asked for was just double check it to make sure he tagged them.
Yeah.
He thought that they didn't tag him either. You know, but we wanted to double check to make sure that the call was correct. You know, just to, you know, double check it.
Clint Hurdle, that's exactly what he would do. Well, he's not coming out as a good guy.
Well, but, you know, he just wanted to make sure that, you know, by some coincidence he got the jersey or something, you know.
Yeah.
That's all he was checking. He figured, you know, hey, we got nothing to lose.
Here's the story. The guy that got tagged got up, went into the dugout. The team got up and went into the dugout.
Yep.
Nobody said, that's close. And the guy didn't come up screaming, going, he touched me here.
Yeah.
Or he didn't touch me here. You know.
Yeah, usually the catcher goes, I touched him.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So then that's when the team walked off and everybody was all happy and blah. I mean, that really changed, I would say, the first 6 weeks of the season. Because if that team would have won, in that situation, no fight, won the first game, we're not supposed to win nothing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They have this whole thing. Now they got the Lions mentality. Oh, how are we going to blow this?
Now they're 1-4 and things are looking bad.
Yeah. I mean, because you're losing to bad teams. Pittsburgh is not a good team, or wasn't supposed to be.
And Kansas City, God help us.
Definitely not good. I mean, you want to see the battle of the bullshit bullpens. Whee! Yeah. And then now you're going to what, Minnesota or Cleveland?
Chicago.
Yeah.
Chicago.
Yeah.
Is it Cleveland? Chicago then and Chicago, right?
Then, yeah, and then
and they got back snowed home to out Cleveland. Today.
Yeah.
And I think then they go to then Cleveland comes here, I think, or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck hitting that pitching.
Everybody's got yeah, in 30 and that's what, this weekend?
Chicago is it's this weekend, and then Cleveland KC. Is next or
yeah,
something next week.
Yeah.
I mean, Chicago's got snow advisories right now, big bad ones, you know. So, and it's colder in Chicago than it is here, surprisingly enough, yeah. You know. And it's supposed to be 36 degrees here as a high on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, this is not fun for these clowns. They should never be having to play baseball in ski masks.
Yeah.
Ever. And yet, I don't hear anybody bitching about who made this schedule. Because I don't remember. Can you remember any time that Detroit's had a Midwest swing for the first 20 games as opposed to going out to Oakland?
Their schedule's brutal.
Yeah.
But the then only- again, it's got to be camp. So is Chicago's. So is Cleveland's. I don't think anybody's going out west yet,
no,
are they?
The, yeah. The farthest Detroit goes before the end of April is Baltimore. They play Baltimore at the end of April.
Good. Let's go east where it's colder.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. I don't, that's what I said. Whoever made this schedule, you must have had a good time drinking that Jack Daniels.
Yeah, because really, how many people are playing out in California? What is the story with that guy who's pitching and DHing?
Oh, Otani?
Otani.
Yeah. No, he pitched real good yesterday.
But what's the big deal about him? That he can also hit?
Yeah.
Yeah, he can.
So why didn't he go to the National League? Ching, that guy would have been an all-star.
Yeah, he pitched good. He pitched six innings, and he gave up three runs, but he was pitching almost 100 miles an hour.
But what's the point with him, that he can do both?
Yes. Yep.
All right.
So you got a starting pitcher who can DH on his off days.
He's that good of a DH?
Yeah.
Yeah, he can hit pretty good.
Yeah.
He didn't have a real good spring, but...
Well, welcome to America.
He didn't have a real good spring pitching, but he pitched real good
Where it counts.
On Sunday.
Yeah. I mean, there's your tune-up, and away you go.
Yeah, and I guess he developed a split-fingered fastball now.
Uh-huh.
That thing's got to drop right off
99 miles an hour, and then he's got that 90-mile-an-hour split finger that goes right down. He had Oakland or whoever they were playing. They were missing the ball by like 3 feet.
But, all right. Do you feel like seeing number 4 or do you feel like going to number 5? I don't even want to see number 6 because it's all rumor.
Oh,
and we
God.
Don't talk about rumor or innuendo.
Well, but that's... Everybody says that that's pretty much...
But that's old, though. I mean, I saw that a couple of weeks ago. You know?
Well, let people know what we're talking about.
Are you talking about the Pistons?
I mean, what, you know, he's referring to the... rumor that Ken Holland's going to be back
but
next year.
It's rumor. We don't talk
but
about
you're
rumors.
Hoping. You're
rumors.
Hoping.
But no, that article came out again today, too.
Because they had to fill up space. Because Trump didn't say anything about Amazon again, so there you go.
Well, you know, I mean, Dick we're talking head. About Ken Holland. You know, we're talking about one of the charter members of our Cat Hall of Fame. You know, the idea that he would come back for another year, I mean, it just boggles the mind. It's like bringing Brad Osmus back. I mean, or Anthony Ghost for another round. I mean, my God.
What does it take?
How do you get some of these guys out of here?
Yeah, I mean, really, this is almost lion-esque. If you're crappy, you get to stay, you know?
And Blashill, too.
Blashill also?
They're thinking of keeping him, too. Because he's still got one more year on his contract. They don't want to pay him to get rid of him.
They figure, let's be shitty again. Here's some news for you, Chris, dumbass. All your teams are going to be losing money by buckets worth. And if you're giving away free pizza, dumbass, don't ever say a 13 up against a 1 and we'll give you freebies, dumbass. Your old man to be, I mean, you're one of the classic things where your dad builds the business and you run it into the ground and people go, it's a shame. It was that shitty. Chris, you're a dick already. if you're going to keep these guys here, you are automatically, you get to sit next to your old man skeleton on the CAC Hall of Fame dais, you know.
They were talking to him down in spring training, and they mentioned the Red Wings.
Playoffs.
He turned around and wouldn't even answer the question about the Red Wings. That's how much he cares about the Red Wings. He wouldn't even answer a question about the Red Wings.
And at the time, the Ilitch family made their bones on the Red Wings.
Oh, yeah. What was the question, do you know? Why did they suck so bad?
I'm not sure exactly what the question was, but he said, I'm not answering any questions about the Red Wings. This is spring training. I'll only answer questions about the Tigers.
Absolute cack move.
Yeah.
I mean, because probably you don't know anything about the Red Wings. Clearly you don't. If you're going to keep Holland in there, it's like, Holland, don't you just want to fucking leave now? You know, take the money, get out of town.
He's about as plugged in with the Red Wings as Tom Gores is with the Pistons, huh?
Again, here's the reason why Detroit's got four crappy teams. You got crappy owners, every single one.
Yep.
I mean, who is Chris Ilitch, anyways? How did it fall to him? You know, it's just like, how did the, you know, Lions fall to the old milkshake? It's like, what the hell did that happen? What does she know about it? Especially when the young man there knew, you know, was running the team with him. Although crappy, he kind of knew what was going on. This old milkshake only wanted was driving Miss Daisy as her, you know, coach. And now what do you got?
And they brought in as the team president the guy who was running the museum or whatever the hell that was. You know, it's like, yeah, okay, cute.
Who's that?
That museum.
Oh, what the hell's that guy's name? He's like the president of the team or something. Remember, he's running a museum.
Okay.
Yeah, he knows a whole lot.
Oh, yeah, the guy that ran the Henry Ford Museum or something. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was going to say, the Lions Museum?
Yeah, Museum.
There's no artifacts in there.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, cute. Yeah.
Let's see, Henry Ford Museum, football team. Yeah, it sort of goes together.
It's the same thing, man.
Yeah. Payroll's a payroll.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, there's no difference between, you know, a guy that can add to six and a CPA.
Whatever.
Yeah, but you see in the paper today, they said, look at our ex-GM, Mayu, is out at the 49ers, and he's the reason for the big turnaround for the 49ers.
What big turnaround? They got a quarterback.
They got five in a row. They won, and they think they're, like, on the way to the Super Bowl. Until you go 5-12 next year, dorks.
Yeah.
You know? But not even talking about that. The Super CPA, Ken Pocket, what did we not talk about in one whole minute?
What did we not talk about? Oh, boy. Well, we didn't talk about, I don't know.
Batman?
Batman, yeah.
Robin? The Penguin?
The Riddler.
Didn't talk much about the NHL, and I was looking at the standings. Those Vegas Golden Knights are still number one in their division. I mean, I'm thinking about this going, when's the last time you saw an exhibition, an expansion team win their division?
Bless their hearts.
My God.
Yeah. Yeah, they're doing pretty good. Now, can they take the pressure of the playoffs?
Playoffs?
I don't know. But Gerard Gallant, if he doesn't win Coach of the Year,
he's already in. You win.
I will go kick somebody's ass because he deserves it.
My God.
Yeah. But, yeah, coach. Yeah, coach of the millennials so far.
You know, as much as I think, you know, there's a lot of other candidates for Coach of the Year, but Gerard Gallant deserves.
While you're talking about that, what didn't we talk about in a minute, Mark?
Well, as a matter of fact, talk about the playoffs. The playoffs start next week.
And Pistons look good.
And the NHL playoffs start next week. And the Pistons can still make the playoffs as long as Miami and Milwaukee lose all their games and the Pistons win all their games.
I thought they lost already. I thought they were mathematically out.
They were 4 out with 5 to go.
Yeah, they can still make it as long as Miami and Milwaukee lose all their games and the Pistons win all their games. But you know that's going to happen.
Yeah,
talking about Stan.
Talk about be able not to tank and win. Assholes. What a stupid position.
At least the Red Wings are doing a good job of tanking, though.
Yeah, well, come on, hurry up and start tanking there, boys. Sci-fi, hurry up. We got to get out of here. So, for the Super CPA, Ken Pocket, and our sport director, Mark Milicek, John Sarver, we'll see you again next Tuesday. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.